the Birchas Kriyashma and Kriyashma just seem, you don't perceive it as a unit. This is the first bracha, the second bracha, the Shema, the third bracha. But we don't see it as a unit. And that's, I think, a fundamental error. I mean, davening is composed principally of three parts. You know, there's the Psuke de Zimra, which is an entity. There's the Shmona Esrei. And there's something in between those two. And the reason that what's in between those two points in time is because there's a theme to it. And that theme prepares us for the Shmona Esrei, as we will see. If I want to do this in a dramatic sense, then we'll do the following. I'll start with a kasha, and then we'll put that on the back burner, and hopefully at the end of the shiur we'll get back to it. In the first Tosfos in Shas, so there's a machlokes of Rashi and Tosfos, what's the kriyashma with which the people were yotze? In the time of the Rishonim, remember there was no outdoor illumination, so people tended to scurry for home before it got dark. So people didn't wander the streets after dark. Marav typically took place before Shkia, as Tosfos spells out. So one with a Yetze in Rashi, in Rabbeinu Tamstein, 1,000 years ago, one with a Yetze, Kriyashma Shalavas. So Rashi says simply, with Kriyashma Lamita, that's the way people were Yetze. My father, Olav HaShalom, every night, read when Kriyashma Lamita, did all three parshias. He said, listen, I don't want to have to make a cheshbon. I davened Marav early. I didn't daven Marav. I forgot when I davened. This way I know I have no problems. Every night I do all three parshiyas before I go to sleep. If I daven early, I'm yetzirah. That's my intention. So Rashi held that you need the first parsha. Okay, so it's a shayla, what's the deraisa? There's many, many shittas with shaylam in that. Rashi held the first parsha. So Tosfos starts in with four kashas on Rashi. And Tosfos concludes that yetzirah with the kriyashma that they read before shkia, Rabbeinu Tam. It's a shita which gained no traction. It's not even considered a sniff in halacha. It's not even a factor in halacha, let alone that we don't paskin like it. But one of the kashas that Tosfos asked on Rashi, that it comes out that there's no smichas gula l'tfila. And he have to have smichas gula l'tfila at night. So according to Rashi, the kriyashma is it when you go to sleep. So all the number of the Achronim, the Nachlis Dovid, I believe, asks, there's a sefer, I forgot what it's called, on Hilchos Brochus. Rav Chaim Oizer had a nephew who was the Rav in Omaha. For 56 years he was Rav in Omaha, Goyin Adir. And he left a number of different svarim. He left a set of svarim on Kriyas HaTorah, and I don't know, and one he left a sefer on Brochus, Mili the Brochus, I think it's called. And he also asked the Kasha there. Rashi said that you daven Marav in order. You said Baruch Hu, you did the Birchas Kriyashma, and the Rishonim explained why you could do Birchas Kriyashma before this man. And then they did Gaal Yisrael, and Shomer Amo Yisrael Ad, and then they did Shmoneh Esrei. So what is Tosfos claiming that you didn't have Smichas Gula Letfila? They had, they said Gaal Yisrael, and they said Hashiveinu, and then they started Shmoneh Esrei. So then you weren't Yotze Kriyashma. So what does it have to do with not being Yotze? Have the din of Smichas Gula L'Tfila. This is the kasha that they ask on Tosfos, and it's a bomb kasha, it's an obvious kasha. So let's leave this at abeyance, and at the end of the shiur we'll come back to this kasha. This will give us a little bit more focus of how all the parts fit together. Now, the essence, we call them Birchas Kriyashma. So the Rishonim Rabbi Yonah spells out, they're not exactly Birchas HaMitzvahs. You don't make a bracha Hashem Tzadim Tzadim Tzivonu Likrei Shema. It's not a birchas hamitzvahs, but there are brachas which are thematically, which are associated, let's put it that way, with the kriyashma, but they're not brachas on the mitzvah of kriyashma. Now, if we take the centerpiece of that part of the davening is the Shema, so the Shema is Kabbalah Somachu Shemaim. There's a recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's role in the world and our relationship with him. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. In one word, and that's a word that we can lift easily from the Tefillos of Rosh Hashanah, is Malchus. Right? We have Malchus, Zechonis, and Shaifus in Rosh Hashanah. And Malchus ends with Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashemach. That's the ultimate statement of Malchus. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashemach. To recognize Hashem Melech. Now, we have two brachas before and a bracha after. Now, what I would like to focus on at first is the Rambam writes that, well, maybe we should take a step back before, just to focus on Shema first. There are two levels of kavanah when we talk in Shema Yisrael, the Pasuk Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. There's the deeper meaning of each of the Shemos of Hashem. When we spell it with Yud and a Hey, etc., in that fashion, so that refers to the timeless aspect of Hashem's existence, Ho Yehovah V'Yiyah. Hashem was, He is, He will be. He's the constant in the world. That's the one constant in the world. Elokeinu refers to the fact that He is supremely powerful. He has all powers and nothing stands in His way. Which is the ultimate statement of Yadus, of Achdus Hashem. Right? Where do we have... We started the Birchos Kriya Shema with Yetzer Orev Orech Choshech to underline exactly that point. That there were those in the world, I believe the Zoroastrians, I believe those are the ones, I'm not 100% sure if I'm correct in that regard, but one of the religions in Iran, maybe it was the Baha'i or the Zoroastrians, one of those two, I believe, that said there's a God of night and a God of day, and those two are, in fact, they're clashing with each other. So what did Chazal do? Chazal instituted a bracha of Yetzer Orev Orech Choshech. There's one Hashem. He's the one that's in charge of the oil. He's the one, and then we have it by Ma'ariv Aravim, the same thing. Ma'ariv Yom Maybe Loila. It's one Rabbi Hashem. It means all the power in the world evolves from one entity. That's Elokeinu. Taka Malechus Balakuch. That this is the ultimate power of the world. There are no other powers. So that's where we start. That's Elokeinu. Then we have Hashem again, and then we have Echad. That's on a deeper level, the meanings, the significance of the Shem Hashem. The different forms of Shem Hashem, what they imply. But what's forgotten in all of this, Doruch HaShulchan spells it out, and Reb Chaim Kanievsky, Shlita, in one of his forum also says, that at the end of the day, there's a Poshik Pshat in this Pasuk. And the Poshik Pshat in this Pasuk we ought to have in mind when we say Kriya Shema. So he wonders why the Poskim don't go into it. But in fact, it happens to be the Aruch HaShulchan and Hukhosh Kriya Shema does in fact make this very point himself. Rashi says, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Elokeinu means our association with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Rashi says that at this moment in time, who recognizes HaKadosh? We recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem Echad, ultimately the whole world will recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, what is the significance of that? That's really the statement of Malchus. Malchus is not a truncated Malchus that we recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu when the world doesn't. The real Malchus is when the whole world recognizes HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's Malchus. Right? The Goyin, in fact, says, HaMaloich Timlo Chalinu Moshal Tim Shal Baruch. What's the difference between a Moshal and a Melech? A Moshal is a person that conquers. And that everyone has to, perforce, respect him and adhere to his wishes. A melech is one that leads the nation that the nation wants to be led by. That's a melech. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is presently is a moshel in that regard. The world he runs. But the world, a lot of the world hasn't recognized HaKadosh Baruch Hu yet. When will he be a melech? When he's fully recognized, that's the ultimate Malchus, that his kingdom will extend over everything. So that's what Rashi says, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu is presently Elokeinu, will ultimately be Hashem Echad, one over the whole world. Now we have this, this is reflected in the Tefillos of Yom Neron. It's first of all a very fascinating thing. We recite the first half of Aleinu, then the Shliach Tzibur has a tefillah, Hayeinu Pifios Shluchei Amcha Yisrael. So the Machzor says this is a reshus to begin the Malchus Zechonos and Shofros. And then we started Alkei the Kabbalachol is this. So I asked this past year, if this is the Rishus to start Malchi as the Chodesh and Shavuos, it should have started before Aleinu. Why would we recite half of Aleinu? And then after half of Aleinu, all of a sudden, we have a Tefillah to prepare the Rishus for Malchi as the Chodesh and Shavuos. In the middle of one year, halfway through Malchi. So I said, no, the Pshat is, when we recognize him, that's not the real Malchias. The Malchias ultimately is that the whole world recognizes the Kodesh Baruch. This is just the beginning of Malchias. But the real Malchias is from Alkin the Kabbalah. And that's why that tefillah comes smack. You only see the Machzor for Rosh Hashanah smack in between Aleinu and Alkin the Kabbalah as a Rashus that all of a sudden the Shliach Tzibah starts. That's what I realized this year. What I realized earlier is, you know, we have in the text, you know, you have the 1040, and what's the 1040? What's the short form called? 1040A?
Easy.
Easy, 1040 easy. Okay. So we also have, in Malchias, we have the same thing. Aleinu is the long form, and Shema Yisrael is the short form. Aleinu says exactly the same thing as Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, except it's at 11. The first half is that's us. What's the second half? Alkin the Kabbalachol. Liros made him the Habigul the Monarchs, well, did them Koros, the Sakin of the Mamalchus Shatkai. The whole of the Negos are Yukru Bushvel. The Kidu Yedu Kol Yeshre Sayyid. Kilochotikra Koberach Tishova Kolosh. Oleinu is Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu, the first half, and Alkin the Kab is the Hashem Echad. Exactly the same thing. Shema Yisrael is the short form, and Aleinu was the long form. We end davening with Malchus. That's Mamash Malchus. So this is the meaning in Pashtus Akro, what the Pesuk Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad means, which is a basic kavana we should have when we recite the Kriya Shema. Now, how do we come to Malchus? How do we recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu? This is particularly significant, especially in the realm of the Sfardish HaMachshava. The Sfardish HaRishonim, particularly the Rambam, the Chovos HaLevavos, all of them, it's interesting, in their world, they believed strongly that it was not enough for a person to have Maseiros, that he worships the Rebbeinu Shel Olam because his father did and his grandfather did. But each person with his own intellect should come to understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's role in the world. And the fact that Chovos HaLevavos renders the Pasuk V'yadata Hayom V'ashevo Yisrael V'avecho Yashem Hu Elokim V'ashamayim V'mar V'loros V'tochas Einoi, V'yadata is the idea that you learned. Your father taught you, your grandfather taught you. But that's not enough. What you need is V'ashevo Yisrael V'avecho, that intellectually to understand why it's so. This is the sheet of the Sfardish Rishonim, the Rambam, Chovos HaLevavos. The Rambam writes, one is in the Yad, and one is in the Mishnah Torah, one is in the Sefer HaMitzvahs. How can a person come to recognize a Kodesh Baruch Hu in this world? By what means? So the Rambam says there are two ways. One is by the study of Maaseh Bereishis. Like Avraham Avinu. How did Avraham Avinu come to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam? He went around the world and he asked himself, what's the likelihood that this world came into being just randomly by some random mathematical model? And the truth is, the more one looks into the Bria, the less likely it be that it could be true. I mean, I'll make two ha'aras in this regard. It's not per se the topic, but Rambam talks about through Maaseh Bereishis. One of them, which is to me is one of the most striking examples that's mechayev, that is a burden to the world, is sexual reproduction. You have two different organisms that each one has a system in their body that has absolutely no purpose and no function unless there's a corresponding system in another body to join together with it to bring about the necessary results. So somehow these two happen to evolve in tandem to each other, that they just happen to work out, that it works. mean, I don't know anything more mind-boggling than that thought. To me, it's a mind-boggling thought. You know, you're not telling me that one organism adapted and whatever because to protect itself or whatever. There are two separate organisms. And they emerged in a fashion which has no purpose and no sense unless there's a corresponding one on the other side with its features that happens to be able to enable them to join together. There's no sense at all.
This happened to me for the first time this year. Now, I study science like everybody else, right? I understand biology. But this year, when the weather got warm, and I started seeing plants sprouting out of the ground, I just had this experience that that was miraculous. That life was just sprouting, coming out of the ground. Now, I know biologically how these things work, but even though I know that, it was like I was watching this happen. It's life just coming out of the ground. It was like a miracle.
I'll tell you one other example, but there are endless examples. This one I have long ago gave up buying the New York Times. I mean, their attitude to cholesterol I just could not bear it. So I dismissed them. But they used to be, I believe, on Tuesday they had the Science Times. I don't know if they still do. I haven't looked at the paper in years, so I don't know what's in there. I'll call upon him in the Science Times once. There was an article that there is a bee in the Peruvian forest. And how does it reproduce? Listen to this. It lays its larvae on the stomach of a spider in a place that the spider cannot knock it off. It attaches it to the stomach of the spider. Number one. As the larvae develops, it injects something into the spider, which basically hacks the spider system. And they show pictures of it. Instead of spinning the normal web that it does, it spins a totally different type of web than it normally does. Now, this web is essential for the survival of this bee, because when it's born, if it fell to the floor of the rainforest, of the forest, the predators would destroy it. So it has to remain above the forest floor. By spinning this new type of web, it's basically a basket that the bee survives in. And that's how the bee reproduces. Now they found out and ultimately the larvae kills the spider. That's what happens. If at a certain point they extract this larvae from the spider, at a certain point the spider will return to normal and start making normal webs. It has some chemical that it injects into it. Tell me exactly how this came about, evolution. Explain this to me. Can you please tell me? It's mind-boggling. I just think about examples. The Rambam says that one of the ways we come to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu is through the study of Ma'aseh Bereishis. Just look at the Bria, Avraham Avinu said. I can't account for the world around me, how it exists. The complexity of the Bria, the precision of the Bria, unless there's a guiding hand that put this whole thing together. How did it happen? And that's how Avraham Avinu discovers the Ribbono Shel Olam in this world. So that's one means of discovering the Ribbono Shel Olam. There's a second means, the Rambam says, from a totally different angle. And that is through the study of Teres Moshe. We study the Torah that the Ribbono Shel Olam has given us. The depth, the profundity of the Torah. You study a piece of Torah about a Vilna Goyen, just you're blown away. And the Goyen didn't make this. Is all in the Torah. This is what the Goyen saw in the Torah. This is what the Rabbeinu Shalom's Torah is so complex, so broad. It touches everything in life, and has a definitive statement about every situation in life. Chazon Ish Zatzal writes in a letter that every shayla that can conceivably come up can be solved from a source in the Torah. There's no shayla that can happen. When Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal, Rav Moshe Feinstein was nifter now, it's 32 years ago. Rav Moshe was nifter in 1986, so it's 32 years. So with the Shleishim, there was a hesped at the Young Israel of Queens Valley. And Zachisit, he'd be one of the speakers at this hesped. So one of the things that I said was the following. There's a pasuk in Parshas Letzavim. It says, Lo dovar reiku mikem. The Torah is not an empty thing. The Medrash Rabba says, Im reiku, if you find it to be empty, it's mikem. This, the problem is with you, not the Torah. So I said, if Rav Moshe Feinstein had not lived in amidst the years that he was, the 50 years that he was in America, so what would we have said? We would have said the following. The Torah, that was good for the horse and buggy age, you know. But once we got to the new world with the technology roaring, you know, it couldn't keep up, it was lost. So the Rebbe Shalom gave us, as our going like Rav Moshe Feinstein, and every shaila that came up, he showed us rigorously, not just, you know, homiletically, rigorously, intellectually, where it is. It's in the Gemara, it's in the Rambam, it's in Rashi, it's in the Shach, it's all there. And he just laid it out for us. He wanted to contend it intellectually. He was ready to defend his position, and nobody could push him over. Right? When they had, for example, there were Siamese twins born in the year, either the end of 1977 or the beginning of 1978. It was born to a kollel man in Lakewood. It's interesting, the grandfather of the Siamese twins was in fact Rabbi Yamin Salberger, Zatzal, was a chaver of my shvez, he was the Rosh Yeshiva of Beis HaTalmud Yeshiva, I knew him. He was the grandfather.
Dr. Cook was the, Dr. Cook, the Surgeon General, he was the one that...
did the surgery.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, they were... Yeah. What happened was, so they came, of course, to ask for Moshe Feinstein. It's a very, very difficult child, because not both babies would be able to survive the surgery. What do you do? What are you allowed to do? Kitzah Hadvarim. So Rav Moshe said he needs time to research the matter. That was the story. Rav Moshe, you'll hear from the Pesach at the end, Rav Moshe didn't need any time to research. Because the tshuva that it was based on, he had written long before. Many, many, many years before. Rav Moshe was waiting. He wanted to see what the development of the babies was. And he did not want to tip his hand so that the doctors would be able to gain the situation. He said he's reflecting. It's a very difficult child. He was waiting for the Metzias. He knew the answer before he started. So one day there was supposed to be the operation in Philadelphia, and the doctor came out, Dr. Cook came out, and he said that it was a Catholic hospital where this was going to be in Philadelphia. So they went to ask their bishop or whatever, and they went to ask Rome. So they heard that Rabbi Feinstein, the great rabbi of the Jews, is deciding the case. They said, whatever he passes is fine for them too, you know. They would have no means of dealing with such a case. So if there's some great rabbi that knew how to deal with it, they can live with the ethics of that. V'hoya b'yoy mahuda, the day came, and they're supposed to do the operation. So the operation's canceled, it's put off. So all the reporters are there. The doctor comes out, and they ask the doctor, why is the operation put off? He says, the ethics of this case are very, very complex. And there's an old rabbi on the east side that understands the ethics better than all of us. And when he decides it's the day to do the operation, that's when we're doing it, not until then. And what happened was that it reached a point that one of the babies started to deteriorate, and it was clear that that one could never survive, and the other one could survive. So this was a pshat that Rav Moshe had said in a very difficult Rambam based on Yerushalmi, long, long before. It's interesting, Rav Shach basically came to the same conclusion on his own in this Yerushalmi, in his Aviyah Ezri, the same conclusion. And that was the psak, that they should save the one that could potentially live a full life, and the one that can only live a curtailed life is the one who they have a right to sacrifice his life. This was the psak. So I said, everything in the world around us, there's nothing that he couldn't settle from the Torah. Im dovar reiku, if we find a shaila that the Torah doesn't seem to address, so we say mikem. We know today one fact. Any shaila that comes up with, we don't know how to settle the shaila, we also know another thing. Those of us that lived, when Rav Moshe Feinstein lived, we have no doubt, if he would be here, he would settle the shaila for us from the Torah. So we say the Torah is great. He showed us the Torah is great. Where's the problem, Lloyd? The problem is we're not Ramayesh Feist. We don't know the Torah the way you knew the Torah. So the problem is not in the Torah. The problem is with us. So the Rambam says, through the study of the Rabbeinu Shalom's Torah, is another means of recognizing the greatness of the Rabbeinu Shalom. This is not a chokhmah which was devised by a human being. No human could create a system of chokhmah that's so encompassing, so profound, to touch every conceivable problem that the world could bring forth. Rav Sarna Zatzal once put it this way. The Dubna Magid says, let's start with Dabar HaMelech, then we'll go to the Dubna Magid, which let me just see which way should we go first. The Dubna Magid said there's a pasuk. It says, V'loyin Yishaya. Around capital Mem, Mem Aleph, says, V'loy Oisi Karosa Yaakov. You've got to be Yisrael. So the Dubna Magid said the following, that if you feel that the Torah is a difficult path, the Rabbeinu Shalom says, V'loy Oisi Karosa Yaakov, then you didn't connect with me. How do I know? You've got to be Yisrael. You find it's such a difficult system. Then you didn't connect with me, the Rabbeinu Shalom said. So the Dubna Magid said, Moshe Muhammad Dover Doim, in his classical fashion of the Dubna Magid. So to put it in modern day terms, there's a guy in 47th Street, in the Diamond Exchange. And he decides, Adkan, he wants to move, you know, to the Bursa in Tel Aviv. Okay, this is all history. The both of them are collapsing nowadays. The Bursa, you could just empty in Tel Aviv. Okay, this business has shifted to India, it's a new world. But our Kalpanim, years passed. So he decides, okay. So what does he do? So he has a problem. He has millions of dollars of diamonds in his wallet. So he has to send them from his safe to ship them in a secure fashion to the Tel Aviv. So he calls an armored shipping company that deals with such type of valuables. They come, they take the shipment away, and that's it, finished. It's, you know, they'll deliver it in Tel Aviv to the Bursa. So he flies off to Tel Aviv. He rents himself a suite of offices, hires, engages staff, sets the place up, and they're waiting for the armored company to come. One of the workers looks out the window and the boss says, oh, they came, they're downstairs, there they are. So he runs to the window and he looks down, and they're all excited, finally they're going to get to work, and he looks down and he starts to cry. So they say, why are you crying? The guy's dragging your package up with your... He says, you don't understand, he says. I'm not in the lead business. My package, how much is my package of millions of dollars of diamonds weigh? Very little. You see, that guy's breaking his back under the package. He says, it's not my package. The Rabbeinu Shalom says, ki yagata bi, if you're breaking your back, you're suffering. And then you're like, oh, you see, karosi Yaakov, that's not my Torah. So Rav Sarna Zatzal, Chevron Rosh Hashanah, said the following. David HaMelech says in Tillim, in Halim, Ono Hashem ki ani avdecho. Ani avdecho ben amasecho. Pitachto lema Yisrael. So David HaMelech says, I'm an Eved Hashem. I've known no other course in life except to serve the Rabbeinu Shalom in his Torah. And this is not new to us. Ani avdecho ben amasecho. I come from Rus. For generations, my family serving the Rabbeinu Shalom. And how does it define Torah? It's Pitachto lema Yisrael. You've opened my bonds. Meaning to say, in life, he said, there are all types of challenges. All types of challenges. And how do we sort our way, work our way through those challenges to arrive at the proper conclusion, that something that we feel is morally and ethically correct? He says, it's a minefield. But Dabar HaMelech says, you know what? Pitachta l'maysero, you've opened my blinds. Why? He gave me a roadmap. He gave me the Torah. I'm not lost. Whenever anything comes up, I go back to the Rabbeinu Shalom's Torah. And there it is. The Rabbeinu Shalom speaks to me and tells me what to do. So the Rambam says this is the second means by which we discover our Kodesh Baruch. So we have through Masa Bereishis, and we have through Torah. What are the two brachas that precede Kriya Shema in the morning and night? The first one is through Masa Bereishis, the Yitzhara Vorechaisha. We'll come back to this again on the group. We'll make another point about this. The second bracha is about Torah. Ava Rab and Ava Sayyid. That's the role of Torah in Klal Yisrael. So these are the two means, the Rambam says, through which we can define the Rabbeinu Shalom, discover the Rabbeinu Shalom's existence in this world. So that's how we start off Birchas Kriya Shema each day. Before we're going to get to Kriya Shema, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. So Chazal said, first, know the Rabbeinu Shalom. How do you know him? Study Masa Bereishis. How do you know him? Study the Torah. Now that you know the Rabbeinu Shalom, then tell me Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Before you know the Rabbeinu Shalom, who is this Shema Yisrael? What are you talking about? First, know the Rabbeinu Shalom. Reflect on the Rabbeinu Shalom. And that's why we have, it's interesting, in the first bracha of Kriya Shema, we have an acrostic with an aleph base, both in the weekday and on Shabbos. On Shabbos we have Kel Odin, and in the weekday we have Kel Baruch Gedol Deyach, and of Ozar Rechama, which is an acrostic which follows the whole aleph base. Why does it have an aleph base in it? So Rameya Simcha writes, aleph base is underscoring Teva, the normal natural order of the world. The natural order of the world has a Seder. It goes in a very consistent fashion. There are laws of nature. It's not random. So therefore, Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Daled, there's an order to things. So that's what we underscore in the first bracha, the orderliness, the discipline, the consistency of the Bria. When we talk about the gift of the Rabbeinu Shalom's Torah and how profound it is. So the Rambam says those are the two means by which we access HaKadosh Baruch. Then we come, now that I've locked in, each one of us in our own fashion. Now it's time to say Shema Yisrael. I'm talking to the Rabbeinu Shalom that I recognize. I recognize him in the Bria, I recognize him in Torah. Then afterwards we come to the Brichas HaGula, Smichas Gula L'Tfila. The Bochret post Kriya Shema is the connection between Kriya Shema and Tefillah. Now let's take a look at Rabbeinu Yoyda. What does Rabbeinu Yoyda write? The Gemara writes some brachas to follow in the first parak. Eizahu ben Olam Haba. Who is the guy that gets into Olam Haba? Zasoymech gula shel arvus l'tefillah shel arvus. He does smichas gula l'tefillah even at night. Rabbeinu Yoyda asked the obvious, Yishlomo v'chimidesh, Seimer gulu l'tfili, Yishlo schar kol kach, Shiyemer elu habo. What, the entry to elu habo is so easy? Come to shul, say v'amuro kol zois, hashkiveinu, say shman esrei, and that's it, you got the ticket punched, you know? If that would be the case, you know, we could sell tickets every night tomorrow. So easy to get into elu habo, Rabbeinu Yoyda asks. L'oymer moiri harav, Rabbeinu Yoyda wrote that he has two mahalachim, two approaches. Shatam shezoichel ischar godol kazeh, they shall kodesh baruch hu kushig alonu votzionu mi mitzrayim. And the Rebbeinu Shalom took us out of Mitzrayim. Ha yoliyoseinu lo avodim. That's we should be avodayim. We should be avodim to Hakadosh Baruch Hu, His servants. Shenehamar ki avodayim. Asher otzeisi yosam eretz Yisrael. Ubebirchas gal Yisrael maskev achesed shosimon abarei. We mention. In fact, in that bracha, we mention Baltono is the one with the sonu. Vatfilo hi avoda, and tefila is service of Hakadosh Baruch Hu. What it obligates us, and that's the service of Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Yitzias Mitzrayim. From that, we're avodim of Hashem. So we're obligated. So we talked about the existence of Hakadosh Baruch Hu, and we recognize that Hakadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim, and therefore we're obligated to serve. So now we start Shmon Esrei. Hashem Sfasa Tifta. So it bridges, in fact, if we go from his existence to how it affects us, that we are obligated to serve him, and that's the introduction to the Tefillah. As we say, Tefillah is avodah v'avatem Hashem Elokeichem zuhi Tefillah. Kushu maski yitzias Mitzrayim mispalo miyad. When he says yitzias Mitzrayim, and he davens right away, Mara shekamosha evit shekoino yisra rabba chayim lasas mitzis rabba. If his master purchases him, he has to listen to his master. So we recognize the chesed that Hashem did to redeem us from Mitzrayim. Vishu avda, where is Evan? If we truly come to the recognition that we are avde Hashem, and therefore I adhere to his mitzvahs, that's the reason to come to Olam Haba. It doesn't mean, just mean the mere recitation of Smichas Gula L'Tfila. But it means to understand the notion of Smichas Gula L'Tfila, that we're Avdei Hashem, we're obligated to do His mitzvahs, And therefore, if we understand that, and that's the reason we're coming to daven now, because Ravata, but if we understand that profoundly, we'll do his mitzvahs, we'll be Avdei Hashem, and Ravata, we're going to be Zeichet Olam Haba. That's one approach. The second, Rabbi Nayyara told us a second shot. Rabbi Nayyara Shemasker Gulas Mitzrayim was Palomiyad, Kumara Shabotayach Bashem Betvila. That I trust the HaKadosh Baruch Hu that I'll answer my tefillahs. Well, I came with Shemavakish Umenu Tzrochov. Because what do I ask? Listen, the first thing you have to know in life is when you need a favor from someone, you need a favor, you have to know the right address to go to. I once had a guy to get a kid into a school. So a guy asked for my help. So I knew the school was endowed, L'zeichah Nishmas, a certain person. I knew his son. His son lives in Eretz Yisrael, and I was going to Eretz Yisrael. So I said, okay, I know his son. I'll call him up, and I'll go meet him. And I'll ask him, listen, I got to get this kid into the school. The school is endowed by your family. Please help me out and get him. I come to his house. I wake up, whatever, he lives in Yerushalayim. I come to his house. We leave very, very late at night after tomorrow, 11:30 at night, whatever we meet, we get together. I tell him what I'm there for. He says, I'd like to help you, but you came to the wrong address. Bakhtipshat. He said, it's named after my father. That's true. The school is dedicated to my father. But I'm not the one that dedicated it. My brother-in-law in New York is the one that dedicated it. Happens to be, I'm friends with his brother-in-law too. Even more than I'm friends with him. So I came back to New York and I got on the phone and I asked his brother-in-law to help me. Now it was at the right address. And he went to town. Pulled out all the stops. And eventually he succeeded in getting this kid into school. But the first thing you have to know you're coming to the right address. You come to the wrong address. The guy's your friend. He wants to help you. He would have helped me. It's not a question. But you're at the wrong address. I'm not the one. So we have to know that we came to the right address. So now we say the following. What is this? Chendiro came at Shemavakish Shemenu Tzrochov Shemishenu Vateach Boli Yivakish Shemenu Klum. If I'm not sure that they're going to help me, then what am I coming to your door for? V'chei nira ve'elish meis rabba. And this is what seems in the Medrash. Parshas boil paro shorim al-lisham k'shiro yisroel anisim ha-reflo isha yoisi mom ha-beire shalom k'tiv ha-shalom they saw the phenomenal nisim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'tzrayim bot chubo. They had confidence, they had faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'al zeh nemar v'ya yisroel asa yoyod ha-gdoi lo asher osu Hashem ha-mitzrayim. They saw all his nisim v'yiruhu ha-omes Hashem v'yaminu b'Hashem. They believed in Hashem. V'kemen sh'maskar ach shal oisel g'ulo. We call hark back to the Gulas Mitzrayim. Shebotchu avoseinu b'Hashem, that gave them the confidence in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu pulled this one off to get us out of Mitzrayim, goyim mitkar, right? Goyim mitkar of goyim. But Masu is v'yis is v'yisim v'chom v'yod chazok. If he could pull this off, v'hitzilo, so he's the one to be mispalo to. Listen, if he could do this, this is the right address. That I have an expression of confidence that I'm at the right address. The Rebbeinu Shlomo will answer me. Moshe Ono Yisrael, Bavushu Bochu, because they had faith in him. They say Masker Oisa Gula Mispalo Biyad. While we talking of Ikra Yirav Amuda, we talking is the fundamental aspect of Yiras Hashem and Amuda Hashem. If he goes Zoicha B'Sibosu L'Chayi Olam Havo. So if a person comes to Amuna, that'll come to Chayi Olam Havo. So with the second interpretation of the Yonah tells us, the first one is that I recognize myself as obligated to serve him because he redeemed me. I owe him one. The second is not the question of what I owe him. The question is, if this is how he's able to play his hand, to pull off Gulas Mitzrayim, and this brought my forefathers to Bitochon, so I'm also going to be about Bitochon and the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. This is what he's able to do. I have faith in the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. If I have faith, that's why I come to. This is the smichas gula too. That's the expression of faith. So now we have the first two brachos to bring us the recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the shmas to be mekabel omach shamayim. And then we come to the third part. The third part is smichas gula l'tefila, which is either our recognition of our obligation to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which flows from the fact that he's the melech, Shema Yisrael, or it comes and it reinforces the bitachon in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So now we have, this is the central part of the tefillah. In other words, we started off with Hodah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shah says, Lodom Yisadir Odom Shvachu V'achakach Yispalo. First, we should sing the praises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that the Torah says, that Pesukah is Zimna. Then we talk about Amunah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Bitochon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu could do. Once we come to that, now I should get up and be mispalot to him. So this is all, this is thematically connected. This is a whole section of davening. And from this, we could understand something else. Now let's go back at this point to where we were at the beginning. Right? We said that the Achrayim Eskan Taismas, the guy said the bracha of Gol Yisrael, and he said Ashkivenu. So what do you mean there was no smichas gula that you had? So what we have to conclude from Taismas is Taismas holds that the mitzvah's kriyashma is also a chelik of the smichas gula that you had. Now if we take this latter interpretation of the Rabbeinu Yehuda, right? If we take the latter interpretation, so the latter interpretation is that we realize the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore we're coming to be mispalo, not because he saved me, I owe him one, but it's a recognition of the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If that's the case, so now we understand what the connection between Kriya Shema and Smichas Gula L'Tfila is. The Smichas Gula L'Tfila is a recognition of the greatness of Hashem, of his abilities. So, to recognize, to have that bitochen of who, how great the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is, so that's the Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, that we pronounced at the beginning. So that's why Tosfos says, the Gros spells this out, it's either in Simen Mem Vov or Simen Mem Zayin, I don't remember which of the two, and it's spelled out, and I found it later spelled out in the B'yar Gros, that to be Yoytze Kriya Shema is an essential aspect of Smichas Gula L'Tfila. That's why we have the Goyin has a phenomenal halach with the Goyin. I think it's in Simen Mem Zayin, I believe. But as I said, in either Mem Vav or Mem Zayin or Rochayim. The Goyin has a very, the yeshivas of Makbid about this. The Minaga yeshivas throughout the world. Our practice is commonly that we listen Shabbos, we daven on the late side. So have the initial Baruch Hashem, we always make Zman Kriya Shema the Goyin. We start early enough to make the Goyin's Kriya Shema. The earliest of Kriya Shema was about 9:10 approximately. Nowadays, we start at 8:30. When it was earlier, when they used to have, when there was no daylight savings time in March, it could get as early as, I don't know, 8:20, 8:30. So we started like a half an hour earlier to davening some of the weeks of the year. The minhag of the Olam is that if Shabbos, people say Kriya Shema at home before they come to shul. And they yoytze Kriya Shema, and then they go when they daven. That's the meaning of Klal Yisrael. The Vilna Gaon disagreed. The Vilna Gaon said, rather than to do that, one should daven be yichidus, and that one should be yoytze Kriya Shema with the Birchas Kriya Shema. Why? Because the Gaon held, like this PowerPoint in Tosfos, that the Kriya Shema was an essential part of Smichas Gula L'Tfila. Now we paskin, let me ask you the following shayla, rabbis. Person comes to shul late for marv. Right? Come late, you walk into shul, they're up to hashkiveinu. What do you do? What? You wait, you say shmon esrei with them, but you do the brichas kriya shma, kriya shma. You have to. Why do we do that? Because the smichas gula l'tfila at night is not so strong. It's such a strong factor. Why? Because the real gula wasn't at night, it was in the daytime. What happens in the morning if I come into shul and they're up to Shema Yisrael? What do I do? I can't say start waiting, start Shema Nesri, but it's evil. Because Smichas Gula L'Tfila is an absolute in the morning. And I can't skip that. I have to go through the whole Birchas Kriya Shema and do the Smichas Gula L'Tfila, then start Shema Nesri. I can't start Shema Nesri without it. So since the Goyin holds like Tosfos, that the Kriya Shema is an essential part of Smichas Gula L'Tfila. So he says, you can't daven by saying the Kriya Shema. What it means, when you're saying Birchas Kriya Shema, you don't have Kriya Shema plugged in. So you're missing in Smichas Gula L'Tfila. It's So the Doin paskens that rather than to do that, you have to daven bichidus. Do the birchas kriyas shma, shmiyotzi shma, gol yisrael, and then. So if you lived in a town according to him, when the minyan was 9 o'clock and the mitzvah kriyas shma, you'd have to daven shachris bichidus. It's an essential part of smichas gula nitzvah. Is being yotze mitzvahs kriyas shma.
That's what we should be knowing. In a place
where it's not the minig of Klara, so it's the minig of those that have the Masuris of the world. It's not our minig to be so mach in this particular halal.
Was there no one? I thought I saw Rotan.
I don't know. I'm not sure. This is Shitas Agro. You know, as I said, most of Klara in yeshivas, they're very machbid for that reason. They always make sure that they are Yetzi Kriyashma Bizman with the brochas, as we in fact do with this particular basic nest for that reason. But that's how central the Kriya Shema is to the Smichas Gula L'Tfilo, that if you're not going to be Yetzir Kriya Shema, the Goyim says, okay. So that Davon Yechidus is there. It's an amazing thing. It's just took a little bit at this point at Kriya Shema itself. In Kriya Shema, we have three parshas. What's the Raisa, what's the Rabbana, is an endless Shitas Rishonim. There are those Rishonim that say the Posik Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad is enough. Now you have, for example, at the end of the Kedusha by Musaf, right? We have Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad in Shabbos. So what's the reason for this? So we are the general story, but I just want to lock in on the detail of this. That there was a time, apparently under Roman occupation, that they forbade the recitation of Kriya Shema, and they sent spies to the shuls. And there they ended davening already, they left. So they snuck in Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad into the Kedusha. To be there. So there are two versions of Rishonim. There are Rishonim that say this was a zecher for the mitzvah, and there are Rishonim that say they were yoytzi the mitzvah. This is the machloek, it's yoytzi with the first posuk. Those that say yoytzi with the first posuk says they smuggled in this posuk and they were yoytzi Kriya Shema. Those that say that it's not enough, it was a zecher to Kriya Shema, that's all they could pull off. They couldn't do more than that at this particular time, at least Barabbim. So in Kriya Shema, we have the Kabbalah, the first parasha has a number of themes in it, right? Principally, it's Kabbalah Tzol Malchus Shemayim, Shas talks about, but the Rambam spells out there are other themes. There's the theme of Torah, B'shinanta Levanecho, in the first parasha, there are a number of themes. There's the theme of Avas Hashem in that parasha. The second parasha, principally, is Kabbalah Tzol Mitzvus. Oyim Shemot Tishmo Mitzvus. It's an Indian to be makra Kadosh Baruch Hu with the Melech. It's an Indian of Amunah. We're not dealing yet with what comes from Amunah. Amunah, from the standpoint of the Rishonim, that dealt with philosophy, if we recognize our Kadosh Baruch Hu, and he's the one that engineered this world, then we have to ask ourselves something. Was our Kadosh Baruch Hu, when he made this world, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu was basically, he didn't know what to do with himself, he was bored. So he had his tinker toy, and he made this world, that's it, you know. This is his Lego work, you know. So the Seichel tells us that's not the case, the Eibishter wasn't bored, they didn't make a Lego game. So if he didn't make a Lego game, so he made this world for a purpose. So now we have to ask ourselves, if he made this world for a purpose, he probably told us what his purpose is. Yeah, gave us a Torah. That follows from the Malchus. Now the last parsha, principally, is for the purpose of the Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. To mention Mitzrayim. That's its principal purpose while we have parsha Tzitzis. Maybe mention something else, or maybe another aspect to it. In the daytime, that's at night, certainly the case. In the daytime, it may be. The Gemara says that when one observed the Tchelas is done with the Yam, and Yam done with the Rakia, the observation of the tefillah as a person comes, his mind wanders back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it could be that that's what why we recited at the end, it's another connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from this world to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara tells us in Menachos, a Maisa, that there was a fellow, he did not live the most moral of lives, and he made an assignation with a woman someplace in Chutz Lawrence, I believe, and he traveled to get there. When he gets there, he's all of a sudden he sees his tzitzis at the last moment and he stops him in his tracks. Okay, he remembered the Rabbeinu Shimon. So he became a Baal Tshuva, she became a Geyeris, and they married. Whatever, it's a Maisa in the Gemara and Menachos. So it could be that that's why in the morning, by becoming to Parshas Tzitzis, because Parshas Tzitzis is one of those mitzvahs which connects us directly with our Kaddish Baruch. So you talk it at night, the Gemara says, really, we don't need Parshas Tzitzis. The sole reason to mention it at night, because in whatever measure, Machloek is the Rambam and the Rosh, but Laila is not Zman Tzitzis, in some measure, whether it means it's not a... Whether whatever we wear at night is potter from tzitzis, or a big day laila potter from tzitzis, and machloek is the Rambam and the Rosh. So the Gemara says the sole reason that we mention the third parasha of Kriyat Shema is because Ani Hashem Elokecha Mosher Otzeisi Eschem Eretz Mitzrayim. That's relevant. So the Gemara has a svara that once we started the parasha, we might as well do the whole. We're doing part of the parasha, we should do the whole parasha already. But in the daytime, it could be that there's another connection of the tzitzis bring us back to an ocean of an awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. These are my thoughts a little bit on Birchas Kriyashma, and I hope that it will give us a little bit more flavor in the davening, because we daven day by day. Good evening, Rabbi.
You're not allowed over there. You have the last part about the aim of the point.
Yeah.
Why is that part sort of interrupted between the Birchas HaTorah, part of Abba Rabba and Shema?
I'll tell you why. If you look at the Goyin at the very, very end of Pirkei Avos, Malka v'Sarea, what does it say about Goyla? I forgot the pasuk. Ein Torah. That in the Golos, we do not come to the full understanding of Torah. So it's only Al Admas HaKodesh, and only when the Midrash stands that we can understand the Torah fully. And that's why it's mentioned in that bracha. And by the end of the Shalom, and then will in fact be Zoicha to the Torah in its fullness.